السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقد قال الله تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, respected brothers and also our sisters at the madrasa, we were discussing one poetry of Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Ali. But on Thursday in the Zikr Majlis, I mentioned that a few days ago, my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Akim Ud Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuhum, he was discussing the dua of Rasul-e Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in which Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam says, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa warzuqna attiba'a wa arina al-batwila batwila warzuqna ajtinaba. Now Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam is asking this dua, but we know that it was for teaching the ummah a lesson. There was no question of Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam considering haqq as batil and batil as haqq. That was out of the question. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, who was the teacher of haqq, due to whom we received our iman and Islam, yes, without whom we would not have been able to learn what is marifat, what is yaqeen, what is tawakkul, what is shukr, what is zuhad, what is taqwa. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is making this dua. It is actually a lesson for the ummah. Nobody would have suspected or nobody would have expected in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that a time would come over the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam when people will consider haqq as batil and batil as haqq. Who would have ever thought that amongst the sahaba ikram, when there were people, each and every one of whom had the tazkiyah of their hearts made, so at that time there was no question of any sahabi of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam considering batil, falsehood, as truth, or sin as something good, or evil as something good, and good as evil. That would not have, we would never have expected anything of that sort in the lives of the sahaba ikram ridwanullah alayhim ajma'in. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was actually teaching this dua for the ummah that was going to come. And especially in these days when you have to travel out and you have to read the articles in the newspapers and you have to listen to the so-called industrialists and so-called intellectuals and so-called great thinkers of Islam, then we get shocked and surprised that what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had mentioned more than 1400 years ago is true to the letter. Each and everything that he mentioned is nothing but the truth. Now when people make tremendous amount of research and the conclusion that they come to is totally un-Islamic and it is falsehood, then what else can you expect? For example, recently I read in one of the newspapers of Karachi, because they have now banned or prohibited the taking and the giving of interest in the banks, and they are trying to work out a system which is going to be based on Musharaka, Muzareba and Islamic methods. So articles have been appearing, and when I went a few months ago, it was the same thing, where people are writing that we just cannot do without interest taking and giving in the modern times. And if we want our country to survive, and if we want our country to progress, then we must not listen to the mullahs who are talking about prohibition of interest in these days. Because the interest that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was talking about was usury, which was in his time. It was different from the type of bank interest that people get on the little savings that they make, things of this nature. So either the person will consider the haqq as batil or the batil as haqq. Or the women folk, they are saying that the liberty is being affected. they are not being given the Islamic right, and their Islamic right, they consider that they should be also allowed to participate in sports which will be viewed by thousands of people on the television screens. They can be dressed as they wish. They can go to the bazaars and marketplaces dressed in the fashions of the West. That is what they consider to be their rights. With regards to nikah, talaq, and so many other matters, if you have to read those articles, then it conclusively proves that what Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said 1400 years ago, more than 1500, almost for 1500 years, it was nothing but the truth. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he was receiving wahi from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. He didn't say anything out of his own accord. So in our times, when there's such an onslaught of batil, there's such an onslaught that we don't know whether we are coming or going. We get caught up in circles where we begin to listen to people, and then it begins to influence our hearts. And whatever is in the heart of the other person, the influence of that will come onto our hearts. If people of this caliber are gathered, who have got these type of ideas and views, then listening to them, it's going to definitely affect our hearts too. Therefore, Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Majzub Rahmatullah Alayh, he said, Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai. Kehte hai ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. So Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam says, Oh Allah, show me haq as haq. But that is for us, that whatever is haq, Allah Ta'ala must show haq to us as haq. And then, only knowing that it is haq is not sufficient. Who does not know that porn movie or the filthy things that are coming on the television screen is haram? Who doesn't know? Who doesn't know that the magazines and all the filth that is coming in those magazines, it is haram? Who does not know that to miss salat is haram? Who does not know that to speak lies, to gamble, to commit fraud, all these things are haram? Everybody knows that it is haram. So it shows that the person knows sometime what is haq. He knows that this is haq. But the fact is that he does not have the himmat to make amal on haq. Namaz is farz, roza is farz, zakat is farz, to speak the truth is farz, and all those things are farz. But the person doesn't have the himmat and the courage and the strength to make amal on that haq. It is like a person who knows that a certain medication is a cure for his illness, but he doesn't have the himmat and the courage to take that medication. So he's not going to get cured. In the same way here, the person knows that this is haq, but he doesn't have the courage to make amal on those things that he has learned as haq. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that also give me the tawfiq of making amal and making ittiba of that which is haq. That means just knowing haq is not sufficient. To make amal on that haq is more important. It is far more important. It is necessary. Otherwise there are lots of scholars in the world, plenty of ulama, plenty of so-called learned Islamic scholars. But there are so many of them who are doing Bukhari Sharif research, and they've got cigarettes in their mouths, and there is no question of any salah in their lives. There are so many of them. But they are scholars. They are doing research. And they are lecturers at Islamic universities. Go out into the modern day world and we will meet them. And go to the conferences and you will see them. But they will talk about Quran, about Hadith, about Sunnah. So this is the thing, that the person knows what is haq, but he doesn't have the courage and the strength to make amal on that haq. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqa. وَرْزُقْنَا اتِّبَاعَ. That means, give me also the tawfiq of making amal, making ittiba of the haq, what has now been learned as the truth. And sometimes what happens is that the person does not see the haq as haq. He sees the haq as batil and the batil as haq. What is evil he considers to be good, and what is good he considers to be evil. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلَ. Whatever is batil, whatever is sinful, whatever is disliked and detested by Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, oh my Allah, show it to me as being batil and as being falsehood or as being sinful, as being something that is disliked by my Allah. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, وَأَرِنَا الْبَاطِلَ بَاطِلَ. Now the person many a times he does not consider the batil as batil because he is living in such an environment. For example, if we have to take photography at present, then because it has become so common that the good and the bad, the learned and the illiterate, everybody seems to be accepting it as a norm of the time. So what happens is that suddenly the whole thing changes, and now people do not consider the batil as batil. In fact, they will now put up an argument. They will now put up an argument and say that there's nothing wrong with it. What is wrong with it? Yet if I recall correctly, I think it was in this masjid that I explained many things about this photography business, that if only we have to use our intellect a little and think that how much of wisdom there was of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala in prohibiting image making. There was so much of wisdom. We cannot even fathom it. But just a few things that we can think of. One is that at that time, when there were no cameras, there was no video machines, at that time nobody would have expected that a time would come when such kind of filthy pictures will appear in the newspapers and magazines and is going to flood the homes of the Muslims. Nobody would have expected that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his wisdom, he prohibited picture making. In his time, he prohibited it. So at that time also, there were lots of innocent pictures, as we call them, which could have been made. Plenty of innocent pictures, which we term as innocent, could have been made. For remembrance, they say people take photographs in the weddings, on the walimas, and on occasions of celebration, and so many other parties and celebrations, for the sake of remembrance. So I always say that do we think that the Arabs, and especially in the time of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they did not have the ability to sketch? We all say that that was the time when art and culture was at its height. People learned from the Arabs. They might not have had cameras, but they could have made sketches which were identical. Portraits. Perfect portraits. They were masters at that. So you think that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or the Sahaba e Kiram, 124,000 of them were in the plains of Arafat. Not one there was on that occasion who could have just sketched and left a portrait behind for us for remembrance till the day of Qiyamah, that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raised his hands in Arafat, this is how he looked. Or when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went into sajda, this is how he was. Or when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam led the prayers, then this is how his face and his beard and his turban looked. If we had one like that, an authentic picture, I would have been the first one to keep it in my home, if it had been permissible. But you won't find one Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, Battle of Trench, beautiful occasions in the life of Rasulullah Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the marriage of Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, his own marriages to his wives, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, so many other occasions of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam entertaining his companions. One artist at least could have given us some sketches to and left behind, so that we could have framed it up in our homes and remembered Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam till the day of Qiyamah. Why should we just read in the Hadith Sharif that this is how his face looked and this is how his nose was and this is how his hands and ears were? We would have looked at the portrait and said that this is how my Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam looked. So wasn't there some wisdom behind it? Alright, leave Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, almost 2.5 years of his khilafat. Take almost 10 years of the khilafat of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala. Take the khilafat of Hazrat Usman and Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. Take the khilafat of Hazrat Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. All these people, right up till then, you don't find one authentic portrait or picture of any one companion of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Not one.
Subhanallah.
What more proof do we require? Not one. If we had one picture also of one Sahabi, 124,000 were just in Arafat, but there were many, many who didn't make it to Arafat. But yet you won't find one picture of any companion. So they say at that time, idol worship was at its height. Nauzu billahi min zalik. In other words, we are trying to say that if they had the picture of one of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in their home, then they would have worshipped it. That is the kind of iman they had, that they would have worshipped it. Whose iman could have been stronger than the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullah Ali Majmain? When they came out of Kufar, there was no sign of Kufar left. And we accepted Islam, but there's so much of the culture of the kuffar in our lives. So at that time, it would have been permissible because their iman was very strong. They would never have worshipped those pictures. So there must have been the hadiths of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam which were in front of them, that they looked at that and saw that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited this, so therefore they destroyed it. There are so many incidents of that. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam did not leave behind any of his portrait, and nobody else do we have an authentic one. We have false ones. False ones we have. But everybody who looks at it, they have a good laugh. And they say if you have to compare it with what is described in the Hadith Sharif, it is what they have sketched is absolute rubbish. So we don't have one. Then my Shaykh Hazrat Mawlana Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib said a beautiful thing. He says that lots of people in their young days, they go off track. And sometimes, as we know how common it is these days, their pictures are taken. He says now after that this person becomes a Shaykh of the time. He changes his life. He has thousands of murids. And then suddenly somebody comes up with a picture of his life at the age of 18, 16, 20. And says, this is the Shaykh. This is what he was doing with this woman. What an embarrassing that would have been. So Allah Ta'ala loves his servants so much that he wants to keep their respect. He doesn't want the grannies to be told by the grandchildren that I have a picture of yours when you were young and this is what you were doing. Look at how Allah Ta'ala loves his servants. So he prohibited it. And we have had so many incidents of this nature. So many incidents. Personally, people have contacted me with their problems, and some of those problems were actually related to the same photographs. Because the person got married, and after he got married, due to jealousy, one of his pictures was picked up, and copies of that were sent to the wife, or the other way around. And so many other things of this nature. I do not want to go into details in the masjid here. But then these people realized that the blunders that they had made, because at that time there was junoon. At that time there was jawani, which is junoon. They didn't realize what will be the consequences of these pictures being in the hands of somebody else. And then when they realized it was too late, the embarrassment, the shame, and the humiliation and the disgrace that they suffered, and they are suffering still, because they do not know in whose hands those photographs are. How many times we have heard of blackmailing through photographs. So therefore, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, in his wisdom, he prohibited it. He prohibited it, there was great wisdom. I don't know what I was saying, but yes, I was saying that many a times, a thing, when it becomes in vogue, it becomes common, everybody begins to indulge in it. The good and the bad, and the good do not have the strength and the courage to openly speak against something that is haram, then that batil then becomes like that which is haq. Then the person who talks about haq, then it seems that he is talking nonsense. The person then who is talking haq, then we consider that person as being batil. They say, what is wrong? These people are outdated. They are conservatives. They are orthodox. They are living in the camel age. So now haq became batil and batil became haq. Because people began to indulge and they began to commit sins in abundance. And after that, that sin became a common practice. So the person looking at the sin all the time, now he considers the sin as something that's acceptable. Go to any Muslim home today where they have a television and a video and they will give you the fazail of that. They will write a kitab of fazail. Maulana, you don't know how much we learn from the television. If 80%, who is saying you don't learn? There are lots of things you learn. Lots of people are learning lots of things from the television. So the thing is that when 80% of the content is haram, and especially those incidents which I related in my Jumu'ah Bayan or one of the majlises, and you have heard from me many times, what more conclusive proof do we need? The children wanting to murder their parents. This young girl, after watching a certain film, now she's got the desire to commit incest with her father. Na'uzubillah. The girl wanting to throttle her mother's throat. And so many other things. After watching a particular film, what more proof do we want? So are we still going to say no, but 20% of it is good? 20% is water and 80% is urine, so we'll say it's park. My brothers, that is why Hazrat Khaja Sahib says, Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh ke dil kabab hai, kehte hai ab sawab hai, sud mein aur qimar mein. Hi, what times we are living in, that the hearts have become kebabs, fried. And they say now there's a lot of sawab in sud, interest, and in gamble. These are just two examples, but look at it right through. There are so many haram things in which we say there's great benefit, lots of benefit. Why should it be prohibited? So arin al haq, oh Allah, show us haq as haq and give us the tawfiq of ittiba, and show us batil as batil and give us the strength to stay away from the batil. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam uses the word rizq, warzuqna, and we know that rizq is something that we all are in search of. A person cannot survive without his rizq. Sustenance of food is something that a person cannot survive without. Don't give a person for a few days food and then see, his hearing has been affected, his seeing is affected, his speech is affected, every part of his body is affected. Tremendous amount of weakness just because he hasn't had food. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam is saying, make it our rizq, this ittiba of haq. Oh Allah, make it my rizq, my sustenance, that how I am in need of sustenance, and without food I cannot survive. In the same way, oh Allah, make it my rizq to search for that which is haq, and to make amal on that which is haq, that I do not feel satisfied, I do not feel content, I do not feel full, until I have eaten sufficient of the rizq of haq. Namaz, roza, zakat, tilawat, ibadat, fulfillment of the rights of parents, children, brothers, sisters, upbringing of children, doing the tijarat in the halal way. All this is that ittiba of haq, that whatever is haq, that this is the correct way of doing a thing. Now this person must regard it as his rizq, that he must not feel happy and satisfied until he has done exactly that which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has ordered. How a person goes out in search of rizq every morning, the buses, the trucks, and the scooters, and the planes, and everything is on the move. Why? Because 90% of them are in search of rizq. Some of them have got plentiful, but they still are in search of more. So how a person is still not satisfied? The person doesn't say that now I have reached a level, I've got sufficient, and I don't need any more now. Anything that comes now, I will just keep on distributing. And I'm not going to go anywhere to work now. Just as the person doesn't get satisfied, in the same way with the rizq, which is of ibadat, zikr, tilawat, and of haq, he must not feel satisfied. He must feel restless. Just as he goes in search of rizq, he must go in search of nekis and ibadat. He must go in search of sawab. And just as batil, a person does not go out in search of pigs. We haven't heard of any Muslim up till today that in the morning he's excited and he's going out in search of pigs for his rizq. Unless he is not a believer, or the person is living in some remote jungle area where there is nobody has even conveyed to him that pigs are haram. But a person who has got the slightest knowledge of that pigs are haram, pork is haram, then we haven't heard of any Muslim in our country at least, or anywhere, I haven't heard, that the person in the morning got very excited and said, where are you going? He said, I'm going in search of my rizq. And said, what is your rizq? He said, I'm going to hunt for some pigs. We haven't heard of it. So just as a person wants to keep away from pigs and from pork, because he doesn't consider it as his rizq, in the same way Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, what is batil? Then give me the strength to stay away from batil, as I stay away from all these things which are filthy and haram, and I don't consider them as my rizq, in the same way I must stay away from batil. That means just as the person doesn't go out in search of pigs, he must not go out in search of sins. You may be surprised when I say he must not go out in search of sins, because that is exactly what the person is doing when he's going to the cinemas, theaters, gambling dens, prostitution, escort agencies, and all the other filth that is outside, the haram entertainment. So what is he going out? He's going out in search of sins. One is accidental sin and one is really going out searching for sins. So now this person, he is asking Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala for protection from the batil. That these things which are sinful, which are batil, Allah ta'ala must make it like the rizq. Because rizq is something which is marhoob, which is something which a person enjoys, it is tasty, he looks forward to. So in the same way, the abstinence from sins and the doing of good deeds must become like the rizq, that the person must look forward to it, he must enjoy it, he must find pleasure in it, he must find it giving him kind of peace and tranquility and sukoon. He must not consider it as a great burden that the person, some kind of a mountain has been placed upon his shoulders, that you must stay away from haram. This is another major problem of ours. That when we read in the newspaper something, or we listen to something in some discussion that's taking place, straight away our heart also, those people who haven't got televisions at home, the heart begins to desire. I wish I had one too. I would have seen this on the television screen. I would have seen this. I would have seen that. So now shaitan wants to take us in that way back to the same bad habits that we have left. So the person must consider it as marhoob, as his risk, to do that which is permissible and to stay away from that which is haram. So a beautiful dua Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam taught. There's so much else in it. But it is linked and related to the same thing that we have been discussing, that at present batil is no more to us like batil, and haq is no more to us like haq. It is very difficult, in fact it is becoming very, very difficult to explain to somebody that this is haq and this is batil. In our homes we can't do it. We get argument. If the children want to say that this is haq and that is batil, the parents put up an argument. They are not happy that the children should be practicing on that which is haq. So how important it is in these times that we make this dua. One dentist, I had to go and see a dentist there in Karachi. There was a cavity. So he said, Maulana, give me some nasihat. So I said, no, I had only 5 minutes and I was had to go to this for salah. So I said, now nasihat in the short time, what nasihat can I give you? But in any case, I said, you've got that big poster there which says you must brush your teeth properly. Otherwise plaque will form. And that plaque then, if you're not going to remove it, it's going to eat into the teeth. It's going to form a cavity. And then it will cause plenty of pain. And then it will cause the teeth to also fall. All that kind of details that you have. I said, now, you are seeing all the time people coming here with plenty of plaque, which they didn't remove, and plenty of cavities, and plenty of teeth that have become shaken up and loose and are falling, and many have fallen. So take a lesson from that. That if that person doesn't remove that plaque immediately, then it becomes hard. And then it covers the teeth. And then it's going to cause tremendous damage to the roots of the teeth. In the same way, when the spot of sin falls on the heart, remove it with a very strong brush of tawbah. Remove it with a very strong brush of tawbah. Don't allow it to form. Don't allow it to increase. If you're not going to remove it and going to commit the next sin, and then the next one, and then the next one, so it's going to keep on covering the heart, according to the hadith, it's a black spot. So now this person, every time he's committing a sin, then the black spots are covering the heart. And then the heart will become hard. Then you can read the whole Quran Sharif from the beginning to the end, and you can read Bukhari Sharif, Tirmizi Sharif, Muslim, and Abu Dawud Sharif to that person. And you can give all the incidents of the Sahaba-i-Kiram and the Awliya-i-Kiram, but nothing has any effect on that heart anymore. So before you reach that stage, before it eats into the heart, before it bites into the heart, before the cavity forms in the heart, and before it destroys that iman, because many of them sins, when they continued committing sins, then finally it led them to go and marry some woman that it was not permissible for him to marry, or some woman married some man it was not permissible for her to marry, and then when somebody asked, then they said, the most important thing in life is love. I love him, he loves me, finish, that is all. That is all that's required in marriage. So it shows that it ate into the heart, because the person did not brush off that sin with the brush of tawbah. So I said, this is the nasihat that I can give you in this few minutes. That whenever accidental sin you commit, then don't look for the next sin. Brush it off. Make plenty of tawbah and istighfar. And when you're going to make plenty of tawbah and istighfar, then the sin, the darkness will be removed. Then after that, it will become easy for you to make amal. So don't allow it to go inside, and don't allow the whole heart to be covered. Don't allow a cavity to be formed, and don't allow it to eat into the root of iman. Otherwise, if it's going to eat into the root of iman, then it will be too late. And at present, this is the exact purpose of the media, that to shake up our iman. They just want to shake up our iman, to take away that inhibition, to take away that dislike from our hearts of sinful things. It must become a norm in our family, in our society. It must become acceptable. So therefore they give you doses, little dose at a time. And suddenly after that they put one picture and test the market. And if they see that there is not much resistance, and everybody seems to be quite relaxed and quite comfortable, and when the Muslim homes also, the person doesn't have the himmat and the courage and the strength to tear up those pictures before he leaves it for his young daughters and his sons to read that paper, they see that even pious people with big dhadis and kurtas and namazis and tablighis and maulvis and muftis, they too in their homes, those Sunday papers are open with all the filthy pictures lying around, and they don't have the courage to tear it. They say, we have to read what is happening in the world. Well and good, read what is happening in the world. But where does it allow and permit us to leave such kind of pictures lying around in our homes? So if we have got the strength and courage to tear up those pictures, to tear up those dirty articles and make it look like a piece of rag before somebody else handles it, then it is permissible to buy it under certain conditions. Otherwise, I am saying it is haram if the person doesn't have the himmat and the strength and the courage to tear up those dirty pictures and dirty articles and leave those papers in the home for anybody to come and pick up. If Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam or his companions had to come into our home, would we have had the courage to say, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, this is the paper that I just read a little while ago, and I've still got it in the same condition, and if you wish to read it, today's it. Na'uzu billahi min zalik. کیسا یہ انقلاب ہے دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے کیسا یہ انقلاب ہے دیکھ کے دل کباب ہے کہتے ہیں اب ثواب ہے سود میں اور قمار میں دنیا گلے کا ہار ہے دین نظر میں خار ہے دنیا گلے کا ہار ہے دین نظر میں خار ہے یہی اگر بہار ہے آگ لگے بہار میں دنیا گلے کا ہار ہے The necklace around our neck is دنیا دنیا is not just gold, silver, wealth, property that's not دنیا A person can have plentiful of that that's not دنیا But when it is diverting our attention from the remembrance of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then it is dunya. And that is what it is doing. That is what it is doing. And ask the people who are leading that kind of life, what kind of restlessness they are experiencing. What kind of restlessness? It shocks us. It hurts. It deeply hurts what the consequences are when they come and cry. And when they say, well, I don't know what to do now. But it's too late. لذت عارضی ملی عزت دائمی گئی لذت عارضی ملی عزت دائمی گئی راحت بندگی گئی لذت زندگی گئی For a little while of pleasure, but the person's respect is gone, marriage is breaking, the whole family is talking, how much of problems the person has to face. And if the newspapers get hold of those articles, of those cases, then it's even worse. The whole country. We don't say that every case is true, because the newspapers, they make everything sensational. There are lots of things that haven't happened, and many people are falsely accused, but the moment the papers report something, then we believe. I received a phone call from the inspector of police the day that I was leaving for Karachi. And the inspector of police tells me, he says that, you are so-and-so. I said, yes, I am so-and-so. He says that, did you purchase a fax machine recently from a Mr. Rafiq, who is arrested and he's here? I said, the last fax machine that we purchased was about 15 years ago. So he says, well, he is here and he gave your name, he gave your address, and he says, I sold one to Maulana Yunus Patel, this is his address and this is his telephone number. Allah. And just a few days before my departure, he says he sold it to me. I said, I would like to see this person. If you can bring him down, let me have a good look at him and let me ask him, when did he sell me this fax machine and where did I purchase it and all. He said, no, I believe you, don't worry. But what I'm saying is that now false stories of this nature, they can be false stories, but there's so much of it, there's truth. So much of it, there's truth. So we have to be very careful. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala must protect us. These are times of fitna. These are times of fitna. And we have to be very careful with whom we walk, with to whom we talk, and whom we befriend. It's very important. Many people in the garb of friendship, they come and they associate with you. And afterwards, they have got ulterior motives. They just want to show that I was in the company of a so-called good person, because we must not consider ourselves as good, but some people consider us as good. So they come away in that garb. And after that, when they do their haram dandas, so they've used that as a cover-up. Now this person, whoever he is, now that is what he was trying to use. And he told this inspector of police that Maulana is a very good friend of mine. So that means Maulana must be getting a share too in all his rackets. He must be getting a percentage of his profits. Allahumma hafazna min. So my dear brothers, what I am trying to convey to you is one simple message, and that is that in these times of fitna, don't take chances, don't take risks. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's mercy is there, and we believe in it, and Allah has kept the doors of tawbah open. But when a person is persistent, then somewhere along the line he gets caught. Somewhere along the line he will get caught. And then it will be too late. What is the sense of tearing when it is too late? Make sincere tawbah, stay away from haram, and Allah Ta'ala will give us life of peace, sukoon, happiness. At present, all the homes are burning, or 90% of them. They are on fire. They are on fire because there's so much of fight, so much of quarrel, so much of arguments, so much of disputes and court cases and what is taking place. Then what is the sense of all that wealth that a person has when there's no peace in the life? So the purpose of these majlises, when we say that repeatedly the same thing, give up sins, so it's not just harping on one point. At present, when they say that the most important thing is that we should try and eliminate or find the solution and cure for AIDS. So now everybody must talk about AIDS, and everybody, they are having conferences and what seminars, and billions are being spent. Why? Because they consider it as a major disease of the time. But they don't know that if they find a solution to that, but they don't stop their promiscuous lifestyles, then they will have to find a solution to another 100 sicknesses. But in any case, at present, now if somebody says that, but you're not going out of your way and having seminars and conferences on the common flu. The common flu. A person suffers a little bit of cold and flu. So he said, that's why are you not having so much seminars and discussions? They'll say, well, that doesn't have priority. At this stage, what is the major sickness? That is what we must talk about. So in the same way, when there is a major sickness in our society, that of ghaflat anil akhirah, that people are no more concerned about what's going to happen in the akhirah. And not only in the akhirah, they're not even concerned what the consequences of their sins are going to be in this world. So at such a time, it is necessary that everywhere the person should be reminded that give up this haram, because Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is the one in whose hands our lives lie. He can make our lives miserable or He can make them happy. And happiness and sorrow and all that is related to the heart. A person can be suffering outwardly, but inside the heart, if Allah Ta'ala gives him happiness, then nobody can prevent it. In the midst of thorns, it's like the rose that is blooming. And a person, on the other hand, is in the gardens, but he's got thorns in his heart, restlessness. One night, for almost an hour, or more than an hour, Hazrat Hakim Sahab Damat Barakatum, ek ghante se zyada, he asked the shair, the poet, to read just that one couplet. One I mentioned the other night, and on the following night, that couplet was, لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن اور غفلت کی دنیا ہے دشت و دمن. That's all. Whole one hour, just this much. لذت ذکر نام خدا ہے چمن. If you want garden in your heart, then that garden will never come except if you make the zikr of Allah. And zikr of Allah is not just subhanallah, alhamdulillah, the both zikr, positive and negative. Do those things that Allah Ta'ala has ordered and remain away from all those things that Allah Ta'ala has declared haram. When the person will do that and together with that real little tasbih, Allah will give him gardens in his heart. Or ghaflat ki dunya, if he's going to be ghafil from the akhirat, then Allah Ta'ala will make his heart like a jungle. And daman means those people who have seen in the olden days, and even at present, those who have got big yards, then all the dirt and dust and all the filth and everything, they have one big hole dug up and they keep on filling it until it forms a big mole or a hill. So that is daman. Allah Ta'ala will make that heart of that person a jungle and a place of dirt and filth. In other words, in jungle you have lions, you have tigers, you have cheetahs, you have monkeys and you have pigs, hogs and all kinds of things. This person's heart will become restless like that. Restless like that. The thorns of the jungle. And all that filth that is thrown there, the stench that it gives, this person's heart will give off that kind of stench, the spiritual heart. Now when there's on the one hand all these kind of animals, and on the other hand all the stench and filth, so will that heart ever find peace? So it's not that we are trying to give you something that is difficult. It's simple and easy. Make a little effort in giving up of sins. It will be a little pain on the heart. But Allah Ta'ala will exchange it. You give him just one life and he will give you thousands of lives. You give him just one pleasure of yours and Allah Ta'ala will give you thousands of pleasures in that heart. We give Allah Ta'ala just one kingdom of ours and Allah Ta'ala will give them thousands of kingdoms in our hearts. May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give me, give you, Ameen. And the entire ummah to Ameen. Make amal on the Quran and Ameen. The Sunnah. And may Allah Ta'ala show us, especially in these times of fitna, what haq is, and give us the tawfiq of making amal, Ameen. And show us what batil is as batil, and then give us the tawfiq of staying away. He must make it our rizq. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اے میرے پیارے خدا, اے میرے رحیم کریم اللہ, ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما. صغیرہ کبیرہ, عمدن خطاءً, ظاہری باطنی, ہر گناہ کو معاف فرما. Oh Allah, forgive our major sins and minor sins. Forgive the sins that we committed knowingly or unknowingly. Forgive the sins that are of our outward selves or inner selves. Oh my beloved Allah, forgive us, forgive our parents, forgive our wives and children, forgive our brothers and sisters, forgive the entire ummah of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Oh my beloved Allah, give us istiqamat on iman. Ay Allah, iman ke upar istiqamat naseeb farma. Hum sab ko sehat de, afiyat de, salamati de, izzat de, rahat de. Hamare qulub ka tazkiya naseeb farma de. Ay Allah, ہمیں مزکا مصفا مجلد عطا فرما. اے اللہ, ہمارے قلوب کو پاک اور صاف فرما. اے اللہ, ہمارے قلوب کو تیری محبت سے بھر دے. Fill up our hearts with your love, oh my Allah. اے میرے اللہ, fill up our hearts with your love. Fill up our hearts with the love of your Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give us so much of your love and the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it becomes extremely easy for us to give up everything that is haram. Ameen. And to do all those things that you have ordered. Ya Allah, give us such a bond with you. Hame teri zaat ke saath aisa taluk naseeb farma, aisa taluk naseeb farma ke ek lamha ke liye bhi shaitan aur nafs hame tujhse juda na kar sake. Ay Allah, dunya bhi de, akhirat bhi de. Give us the best of this world and the best of akhirat. Give us the best of dunya and the best of akhirat. Protect us and safeguard us from the fitnas of this world, fitnas of qabr and fitnas of the akhirat. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.